Proverbs 29, verse 11 says this, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." Let's bow our heads together tonight. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight, Lord, for this time that we can be gathered together. I trust that each of us are glad when we consider going up into the house of God. Father, that is not the only emotion that we are prone to. Father, there are a number of feelings that we might have, right or wrong. We thank you, Lord, that those things can be used as we hand them over to you, submit them to you, Lord. We can be drawn nearer to you, but Lord, those things can also separate if we misuse them, misapply them. So I pray, Father, that you'd help us to consider daily how and when to feel what we should and to show those feelings. Bless us as we consider that this evening, Father. Grow us in our faith and grow us in our maturity, Father, spiritually. Guide us as we consider your word, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to consider venting this evening. Venting just on a natural level, a practical level. If you want to define venting or to vent, it means just to provide an outlet for air, gas, or a liquid. If you look on either side of me up here on the platform, you see some vents there. I've been adjusting them a number of times in recent days based on where we've been congregating in mass, en masse. When you consider what it is, a vent is just simply something that allows air to come out or allows that steam or allow that liquid to come out. Oftentimes, I mean, typically it's because there's been a pressure built up. I'm not going to get into physics or any of those sorts of things, but pressure gets built up and so it has to go somewhere or it should go somewhere. It's intended to go somewhere, be directed somewhere. You can find vents in a lot of different places and a lot of different applications. If you consider a propane tank, there is a pop-off vent on a propane tank, one of those big ones or even the small ones that you see hooked up to a gas grill. It's intended, if it gets heated up or over-pressurized, that vent will open up and allow that pressure to escape. Not a real safe condition for it to be so pressurized that it would pop off that vent, but it is hopefully going to prevent it becoming over-pressurized to the point that it might explode or cause a problem. So that vent is a good thing. It's oftentimes beneficial to cut a ventilation hole, to vent a roof. If this church were on fire and this building were to build up smoke that's flammable in and of itself, lest it should flash over or become spontaneously, all together, it turn into fire inside of this entire building. You cut a hole inside the roof, or in the roof, and it would vent that, allow that pressurized gas to escape. Well, of course, that's on a natural level, and considering physical things. Well, people vent their feelings, and that's what's, of course, being presented here in Proverbs 29:11. We understand what that is, to vent our feelings. We can build up certain emotions until, like a propane tank, we might want to pop off and vent for a time. Typically, when we vent, as we use that term, as we're familiar with that term, typically it's to vent our anger, to vent our frustration, to vent our dismay at a circumstance, whether ongoing, building up, or just right there in the moment. I've been pressed to the point where I feel rather calm, collected in myself, don't have a whole lot of stress perhaps, then all of a sudden something's dropped in my lap and I want to pop. And perhaps you've experienced that yourself. When we vent, we typically vent to a specific person. If we choose to do so, a spouse, a friend, or in a bad situation typically, it might be the person who caused that emotional response in the first place. Anybody else we can vent to, certainly. Now, Proverbs 29:11 speaks to that. It says there, a fool vents all his feelings. Speaking kind of frankly about this concept of popping off, if you will, whatever the emotion might be. A fool vents all his feelings. And so the first point that we'll look at just briefly this evening is that venting is not prohibited per se by this passage, prohibited by Scripture, but it's cautioned about. Specifically, that three-letter word we see there where it says a fool vents all his feelings. It's not there in the Hebrew, but the concept is there in the use of the word there. A fool vents all of them, or when one is angry, he vents all his anger. Or one vents all his anger, his happiness, his sadness, his jealousy, his whatever the case may be. A fool vents a collection or the entirety of one specific emotion. The King James Version gives it this way. A fool uttereth all his mind. Once again, it might be in the moment uttering all of the anger that's on my mind right now, or it might be over the course of time I've uttered all of my hate, all of my dismay, all of my extreme happiness, all of my... it shouldn't be so. There's a measure of control that's supposed to be present in the child of God. Other translations say gives full vent, which has carries the same thought there. It speaks of that totality of those emotions being vented. The fool lets it all out. The fool lets everything out all at once, or lets a great number of things out over the course of time. A fool loses themselves, rails in anger, you might say, for example. A fool goes on and on and on and can't, contain that after a certain measure of perhaps appropriate anger. Again, the word doesn't prohibit that, doesn't prohibit venting, letting out what needs to be let out, but it cautions us to do so appropriately. If you turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, we know there's a time and a place for emotion to be presented. There's a time and a place for excessive emotion, not just excessive, but great, great heavy emotion to be, to be released. Elisha saw Elijah, that one who he had served, that he had poured water on the hands of, both literally and figuratively. He saw him taken up and removed from him. His service to Elijah was over, and Elijah's ministry to Elisha was over as well. And there were emotions that were involved. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces, that indicator and that sign of great grief. I do believe that there are times when someone says, I'm grieving, so this is appropriate, and they do such things, or whatever the case may be. In that time, I believe it absolutely took place. It was a sign of grief, whether or not you actually felt it. And then there were other times, and I believe that was what present this situation was for Elisha. He saw what he saw. He felt what he felt. There was, there had to be some measure of joy that was there in seeing something so magnificent, something so unique, something that no one else had seen before outside of whomever might have witnessed Enoch, I suppose, if there were any witnesses to Enoch, saw him taken up, saw those things. So there would be a measure of joy because there was a God thing happening there, as some people use the term. But there would have been some mourning, having separated from that man. There would have been some fear, I'm sure. There would have been some awe there. And I can only imagine, again, that might have been exactly what took place as he vented his feelings, vented his emotions, and did so justifiably. When he was done, however, he went about his business, didn't he? Struck the water. Said, where's the God of Elijah? Struck the water. The water opened up, and he took up the mantle, both literally and figuratively, and he went forth. And he became that, he took that place that Elijah had as the prophet. Joseph, not going to turn there, but Joseph, the son of Jacob, he had an emotional venting, if you will, when he saw his brothers standing before him after those 17 some odd years of being separated and all of the horrifying things that he endured and experienced. There they were, and he felt the tears come, and he wept, and he hid himself from them. He held back his emotions. Couldn't hold back the tears, perhaps, but he went someplace and he dealt with them and he got about his father's business. I'll give you an example of improper use, improper venting. We've been talking, pretty good about Peter recently, so it's time we heaped it on him again. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 73. Three times Peter, when Jesus was arrested, taken into custody, headed towards the cross, three times Peter was put in danger, three times Peter was put on the defensive, three times at least Peter felt fear, guilt, confusion, anger at his circumstances and all of that welled up until he popped off and he vented. A little later, those who stood by, this is the third accusation there, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear. That is one manifestation of such venting. He began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." And we know that it was something he regretted. Venting can be so. Uncontrolled venting, ungodly venting can certainly be regrettable. It can lead to more feelings. It can lead to more venting as a result. Peter knew what he had done. He knew that he had popped off. He knew that he had denied the Lord Jesus. And then, well, he knew that it was ungodly all the way around. And he was presented with that ungodliness. Immediately a rooster crowed. And it says elsewhere in the Gospels that Jesus looked at him. And I imagine that's where it would have really hit him where he lived, right? And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and he vented some more. He wept bitterly. More venting, although at that point it was justified, wasn't it? All of that built up. And the Lord Jesus demonstrated to him where he had gone wrong, reminded him of where he had gone wrong. Now, Peter certainly took that regret and it was turned to repentance, certainly. And he repented to the Lord and he dealt with it face to face with Jesus when Jesus went to the grave, came up out of the grave and spoke to him. There's a time and a place for, well, the release of excess emotion. But it isn't all the time. And it isn't supposed to be all of our emotion. It isn't supposed to be all of our feelings, whatever they may be. It's not supposed to be at all places or any places or to just anyone that we just pop off and allow ourselves to vent what we feel in the moment. Again, Peter repented before the Lord and he got to his father's business. He dealt with it appropriately. Now the Lord taught him. The proverb completes there in the second line of Proverbs 29:11, where it says, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." Again, the King James Version says, "A wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." Well, that's kind of ambiguous, kind of general. After what? After the situation? What if there's something that needs to be said? What if there's something that needs to be shown? No, if I'm just getting right to it, it's after you have presented and offered your feelings to the Lord to show you what you need to do, to show you what you need to say. That might happen instantaneously. I'm building up all of a sudden. I'm just ready to pop. Even on a natural level, what do they oftentimes tell you to do if your kid lights his room on fire? Or I could give you any number of things my kids did that took me from 0 to 100, just like that. Even in the natural, they say, stop and take a breath. Stop and count to 10. Stop and do this or that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. I still hate my kid. You know, it can happen just like that. No, if you can take the time to count to 10, you can certainly stop and take just a brief moment to say, "Lord, help me to deal with my feelings. Help me to deal with my anger right now. Help me to deal with my absolute misery right now. Help me to deal with this tragedy right now. Help me to deal with my jealousy right now. Help me to deal in this moment with the envy that I cannot get rid of." We don't always have to say all that we feel. We don't always have to say all that we think. We're oftentimes better off holding those things back, even if only momentarily, to check with our Father for His direction and His help in tempering those things with godliness, tempering them with the righteousness that we're well familiar with, tempering those things with the Spirit that we have accompanying us, giving us His understanding, giving us that direction. We're better off keeping those feelings till after we've brought them to Him to assess and to guide and to show us. It takes, well, it's good to let your cooler, godly-minded heads prevail. David said, "Be angry," but I'll even put in there, I'm not sure. That's stand in awe. I'm not sure what translation that might be. That might be the King James Version accidentally put in by the software there. But in the New King James Version, he says, "Be angry," but you might even say, "Be sad," "Be happy," "Be excited." Be any number of these godly emotions or okay emotions, but do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed. Take time to bring it to the Lord, even if that means simply to sleep on it, very literally. And be still. Ecclesiastes 7 says, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. And so does the abundance and the uncontrolled excess of any number of other emotions. Saints, oftentimes we vent, go to people with our issues, perhaps not directed at them, but just throwing up our emotions onto somebody else because we're looking for allies in our wrong thinking. Sometimes that's the situation. Sometimes we vent because we don't know how to process emotions right there in the moment in a righteous manner. We don't know how to cope with those things. Oftentimes it's simply because, well, we're immature in our faith in dealing with such things. We haven't taken the time to bring our emotions in the past to the Lord. It must not be so. We have to seek the Lord to change our thoughts, to change our ways, to give us the take a breath with Him fortitude to deal with those emotions correctly. Not all of us are called to be overseers in the church, but we should seek for the same qualifications that Paul told Titus. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed. Not quick-tempered, this is Titus 1, verse 7. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good. Sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. How many of those speak against the concept of just venting, of just releasing and popping off? Lots of them, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, sober-minded, self-controlled. The mature believer will not vent all feelings at any time to anyone. Sometimes it's not appropriate to vent our feelings to anyone at all, save our Heavenly Father. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back appropriately. Saints, may we not be fools. Have the wisdom to seek the Lord, even in the moment, even in that instant, even if we don't have time to take it to the Lord for a length of time. But to immediately, when we feel that overwhelming need to just pop off, take a breath, take it to the Lord. If you have the time to sleep on it, by all means, meditate on things. Meditate on it in light of the Word. Talk to your Father about it. But we need to seek the Lord, and it takes wisdom to do that. Seek the Lord regarding even the excess of feelings, whether they're hateful feelings or not, just the excess of any feelings that might threaten to overwhelm us. To know how or when to release those things is a sign of maturity that comes by faith and trusting the Lord to deal with those things appropriately.